Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'll let you find it, and then I want to say a word of thanks, and then we'll read verse 38. Before I do that, just quickly, we have 10 more left of lifted. Or we have 10 more lifted of left, one of the two. We have 10 more of this, but this is really a good book. It's an encouragement, and if you don't feel that you need it, you may have a friend that does need it, and it'll be a blessing to anybody that reads it, lifted. I haven't said a word about this book here at this church for a couple of years. This is a book on raising children or grandchildren. And it's called Do You Mind If Your Kids Don't? How many of you have a daughter who married, obviously, your son-in-law? You have a daughter that married your son-in-law. Can I see your hand? All right. Now, you know how well your daughter does with the grandchildren, right? She does a great job. But sometimes your son-in-law is not, shall we say, that good. He's not good with the kids. So what you do is you get this book and find an excuse, birthday, Valentine's, whatever, and send it to your son-in-law. And then you underline every passage that he needs to read. And you give him the book, and he'll say to you, the book was good, but evidently somebody else had it because it was underlined. And you say, really? Don't admit to anything. Just say, really? You say, Brother Rice, isn't that lying? Really? Yes. All right. So the books are there, and I hope that you'll get them. Now, I don't even know if you know this, but as of tonight, Will and I will have been, since the first Sunday of January, in 11 churches. And we've seen 16 people saved. Isn't that wonderful? We're really thankful for that. And we have been here 2 weeks Thursday. The first Sunday, Mary and I were in Stark with the girls in Gainesville. And then Monday, we moved here. This is my second home. And we moved here, and then the girls live down. Can you still hear me? Am I all right? Okay. The girls moved down in the mansion. Have you ever been down in the mansion down there? They moved down in the mansion. So we have been there 2 weeks. Now, I just want to thank you for that. You people are really gracious to us about that. It would have cost the ranch, had we paid to park our trailer and had we paid for the girls to stay someplace, it would have cost, well, you've saved the ranch about $3,000. And I really am grateful for that. And my hope is that over the years, there'll be many more thousand dollars that you will save the ranch because I'm coming back. I'm going to park my trailer down there. And you people complaining about the weather, you should be ashamed of yourselves. This morning at the ranch, it was 7. It was 7. Well, you say, yeah, it was 33 here. A heat wave, people. Here it was great. But some of you Floridians are so brave. You brave this terrible 52-degree weather really wonderfully. And I'm so proud of you. And you know I'm being facetious because I think we should all be thankful. Shouldn't we? Isn't Florida wonderful in January and February? So praise God, I get to be here in January, February, and I don't have to be here in June. So those are both blessings. You folks are a blessing to us, and I mean that. And I mean that. Now, one more thing. I told the pastor this morning I was going to call Brother Stewart. How many of you remember Brother Stewart? You remember Brother Stewart? Yeah. I said, I'm going to text, I said, Brother Stewart, and tell him we had 40 people saved this morning. Now, we did have 3. That's wonderful, isn't it? But I said, I'm going to text him and say we had 40 people saved this morning. And the pastor, being a good pastor, said, I will back you up. Then I said, I'm also going to tell Brother Stewart that the offering was $10,000. Now, Brother Tom's not going to back me up on this, on the second one. And if...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, I guess I better get to preaching, all right? Luke 6:38, you would know this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. A wonderful, wonderful verse. I often reference it. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Will you read it with me? I'll give the reference. I'll say Luke 6:38, and we'll all read it. Would you mind? Let's stand as we read it, all right? Just out of respect to the scriptures. So I'll give the reference, and then it's all... Okay? Here we go. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and running over, shall men give unto you. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Father, this is a wonderful truth and a wonderful promise. And help us to see it tonight in such a way that we'll remember it and rejoice in it, I pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. You may be seated. Several years ago, I had an acquaintance which was just out of college. And I don't remember what he was going to do, but he said to me, Bill, I would like to earn $1 million and then help support God's work. Now, I don't think either one of those desires is wrong. I don't think it's wrong to say, I'm going to set out, if I can, to earn $1 million. After all, if you earn it, you earned it, correct? And I don't think it's wrong to say, I want to earn it for the purpose of giving, except that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Now look at this verse. It says, give. That's a command. All right, now look at me. It does not say give if you have. It does not say give if you're able to work and have a job. It does not say give if you are not on a set salary or pension. It doesn't say give if you have money in the bank and money in the stock market. It just says give. Now, this is given in the Sermon on the Mount, and it is a command. So if God commanded us to give, then he would have to make it possible for us to do so. Is that not true? So it's a matter of faith, but it says give. Now, does it say give wage earners? No. It just says give. Who do you think would have been there that day hearing Jesus speak in the Sermon on the Mount? I assume it would be true that the majority of the crowd were men. Because of the society in that day, I would assume that the majority would have been men. But do you think there may have been women there? Did you know in Christ's day, women, while they worked, did not necessarily earn a living? So do you think women there? I would guess so. Do you think with 5,000 or 6,000 people or whatever, do you think teenagers there? Do you think so? All right. Do you think there may have been young'uns there? Would it be reasonable for us to assume that in the crowd hearing Jesus, there were ladies, not wage earners, teens, no money, and youngsters, no nothing? Wouldn't that be fair to assume? Okay, so the Bible didn't say, teenager, thank you. Thank you, I appreciate that. All right, now here's the problem. The other one, all right. And I turn this one off, right? Okay, I turn this one off. They did this on purpose, you know that. pastor friend of mine said, if every, how can I say this kind of? I can't. If every person that controls the sound in a church, if every sound man in a church were laid end to end around the equator, it would be a good thing. But I didn't say that. A friend of mine said, okay, can you hear me? All right. So, the Bible would say, teenager, when you get a job at Chick-fil-A, start giving. Does it? The Bible does not say, dear wife, if you don't have a job or run a company, you're exempt from giving. It doesn't say that, does it? It just says give. So I should assume that when the Bible says give, it's talking to all of us. And it doesn't say if you have, give. So it assumes that you have. Now, you might say, well, Brother Rice, it may assume that I have, but I don't. Well, if God tells you to do something, He is capable of making it possible for you to do. Let me tell you how Bob Jones Sr. used to say that. He was an evangelist in the last century. And Bob Jones Sr. said, back of God's commands, He puts omnipotence. I love that. Omnipotence means all powerful. Back of God's commands, He puts His power. So, for example, Pastor and I were talking about this morning. If the Bible says to a husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church, well, I can't love like God, can I? I'm not God. So if you said, Bill, do you love Mary? I'd say, yes. If you'd say, Bill, do you love Mary like Christ loved the church? What would I have to say? I'd say, no, I'm not God. Correct. So if I am to love Mary as Christ loved me, then God to have to provide for me to do that. Does that make sense? Is it working? Just one of the people? No, the greatest people in the world, folks who run this out. I hate it when you can see wires as funny as just to deal with them. So I hate you to be able to see them. You're going to have to see them, all right? My son puts on the mic after he starts speaking. He'll get up and he's putting on the mic. Drives me bananas. But we're all different. You won't tell him, will you, that I said, no, we wouldn't want all that. I tell myself, okay. All right. So the point here is that the Bible says give. And that's what we're supposed to do. The command that God gives me is to give. Now, in all fairness, this is not saying just to the church. It is about giving. It's not necessarily about giving to the church. It certainly would include that, would it not? But it's not just about that. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. So, all of us are commanded to give, and we need to trust the Lord to have the ability to give that He's given to us. All right, so we are to give, and that is the absolute command of Scripture. Let me find this real quick here. Okay. So we are to give. It assumes you have, but you may not. And then it includes more than money. Pastor said tonight, just in passing, he said, our time, tithes, and talents. Didn't he say that? Well, that is a saying, but it really has truth to it. In other words, if I said, look, I don't have any money, might I still have something to give? If you said, I'm not rich in ownership of stuff, might you still have something to give? All right, so stop and think of how you can be a giver. You know, you can give in a local church. That's a wonderful thing. You can give by singing in the choir. Pastor and I give by not singing in the choir. Some people are a blessing when they sing. We're a blessing when we don't, but you can do that. You say, well, Brother Rice, I really can't sing. And honestly, I can't. So you'd say, I can't sing. Well, could you greet people? Well, you say, I'm a little bit bashful at meeting people. Well, okay, could you fix stuff? Could you move chairs? Could you cook for the chili cook-off? Well, you could, couldn't you? By the way, this confused me tonight. Pastor said, I hope you're cold so you can go down and get chili. Did that make sense to you? That was confusing to me. All right. So the deal is there are things you can give and you are commanded to do so. In other words, a Christian should be a giver. So number one, there's the command to give. Number two, take the promise. In other words, you take the promise given with giving. So what is the promise if I give? Look at the verse. What is the promise if I give? Give, and it shall be given unto you. All right, so the Bible teaches that if I am a giver, I will also be a receiver. Now, people are often offended by this. This has always been interesting to me. Somebody says, you know, you should give, but you shouldn't give so that you will get. Why not? Did God say that if you would give, you would get? Did God say if you gave, you would receive? Did he say that, yes or no? Yes. All right, so if he said that, don't you know that? Well, then how can you give in faith without believing that you will also receive? Well, somebody says, yeah, but I heard a guy on TV and he said, if you need a Mercedes, give a seed faith gift to me. Well, this is not talking about getting a Mercedes. It's not talking about getting. It's talking about giving. The passage is talking about giving. However, if you are a giver, you will be a receiver. So how would this work? If I am a giver, and therefore I will be a receiver. If you are a giver, and therefore you will be a receiver, what will you do with that which you receive? Give, and that's the whole point. See, it's about giving. It's about giving. Now, somebody says, yes, but how about me? So may I ask this? Look, are you doing okay? Do you eat anything besides rice in the week? You know, there are people who don't eat anything but rice in a week. You know that, don't you? Breakfast, if they have it. Lunch, if they have it. Supper, if they have it. They eat rice. Do you eat three meals a day? Jesus said in what we call the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Now just answer this in your heart, honestly. When's the last time you prayed and said, dear God, please allow me to eat on Tuesday? Have you prayed that? Why not? Because you're not worried about eating on Tuesday. Do you think that I think that the people sitting in this room are wealthy? Well, are you? Not really. No, we're not wealthy people. It's not the point. But the point is God has blessed wonderfully every person sitting in this room. How do I know that? Because you could come to church tonight. How do I know that? Because you're clothed nicely. How do I know that? Because you ate. How do I know that? Because we're going to fellowship after the church service. And in a Baptist church, fellowship means one thing, eating. And we don't think anything of that. There are countries when nobody would ever think about getting together over food to fellowship. They would think about getting together over food to keep from dying. Do you realize how good God has been to the United States of America? Now, we can argue as to why God has been good, but no man could logically argue the goodness of God to this nation. God's been good to us. So the promise is, if you give, you will also receive. My uncle has a book, and it's entitled All About Christian. I think he says giving and receiving. It may be just giving. But you see in the Bible often receiving added to giving. For example, Proverbs says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. You know, in Malachi chapter 3, where Malachi deals with the Jews and their giving to the temple, God says, give that your barns may be filled. I'm telling you, the giving person who lives in faith is a person who also receives. So number one, give. Now don't say, I don't have. You just set out to give it. By the way, wouldn't it be good if God's people were generous in places other than the church? I think we ought to be generous in the church, don't you? But wouldn't it be good if God's people were generous in other places than just when you come to church to give? I mean, wouldn't it be good if you'd give maybe to neighbors, maybe to co-workers, maybe something as simple as a tip for a waiter or a waitress? You know, I know maybe eight, nine years ago, I got really convicted about this because Mary and I eat out a lot because we have to, you know, because of travel. And so I always thought, you know, back in the day, 10% and then 12% and then 15% and then 18%. And generally now it's 20. And I used to carefully figure out what 13% was, you know, and so on. And it just occurred to me, you know, Bill, it wouldn't kill you to be generous with a person you don't even know, but who expects from you a tip. When I was a kid, they used to say tip means to ensure promptness. But it doesn't mean that now. It hadn't meant that for years. A tip is, to some extent, I think a large extent, the wage that people who need tips make. It's from their tips. So couldn't I help with that? And listen, if you're going to give a tract when you eat out, and I think you should, why not? If you're going to give a tract, please give a good tip. Please, I have two friends, good guys, really good guys, successful guys, really successful guys. They love the Lord, there's no question about that. But I'm embarrassed every time I eat with them because they will get a nice meal for me or for me and Mary, and, of course, they do fine in eating themselves. And then the poor waitress gets probably 15%. I really think that's pretty sad. Not if you're going to be a giver. We can give in our family. A husband can give to his wife. I think that would be good, don't you? A wife can give to her husband. Please underline that. Write a note copying it and give it to Mary so that she can grow in grace. All right. So a wife should give to her husband. Parents can and often do give to their children, do they not? And kids could give to parents. Now, don't say, but we don't have a bunch. Sometimes a smile is worth a million. So the whole point is that God's people should be givers. Now, I think it's important that we see the emphasis of the verse is giving. So while we do receive, it's not a way to receive. It's a way to have so we can give. Because that's what it's all about. In other words, if I give and I receive, then my first thought about that which I receive is to give. I have a pastor friend that I heard speak about a year ago. He's a great guy. He's really an outstanding fellow. And he said he found some money. It wasn't a lot, but it was like $10 he found. And he took half of it, and he just gave it to the Lord. I don't remember how he gave it, but to missions or in his church or whatever. And he said, you know, he promised God that whenever he got unexpected money, he would give half of it back to God. Okay, that's fine. Why not all of it? It's unexpected. You didn't earn it. In other words, if I say, you know, I found 50 bucks and I gave 25 to open door, why should you pat me on the back? I found it. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. So why not give all of it to open door? No, the point I'm making is Work at giving. Work at giving. So number one, we give. That's a command. Number two, take the promise. Believe that God will provide for you. And number three, I love this, rejoice in God's provision. Rejoice in God's provision. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to use the name, but you may, some of you could know who this is. I have a friend, and he pastors in Michigan. It's a little chilly in Michigan tonight. You know that, don't you? All right. He pastors in a town, not Detroit, but not too far from Detroit, but he pastors in a town whose economy is dependent on the auto industry. And not just the auto industry, but the auto industry in Detroit. Okay. Since he's moved to that town, they have lost 100,000 residents. He's been there about 30 years in his church. They have lost, I think they're around 130 or 40,000, and now they're 30,000 residents in the town in Michigan where he lives, because companies have closed down. Not necessarily GM, though some were, not necessarily Ford, though some were, or Chrysler, though some were, but some independent companies that sell stuff to the big three, in quotes. All right. So in 30 years, the town's gone from 140 round figures down to 40,000. And he has a church that runs probably a little under 300. I've been talking to him a couple times a week lately because he's had a health challenge recently. So I've been talking to him. He's a dear friend. He's a great guy. And he is a giver. I have said to Mary, we need to try to outgive this pastor and his wife, and you can't do it. I mean, listen, when you come up to his house, there's always a gift. When you're at his church, there's always just a little thing to us. He loves gadgets and junky things. I do too. And so he's always giving me some kind of little gadget that works, you know, peels apples or chops up peanuts or whatever. He just gives. And he gives to everybody. And he just, I think he has the gift of giving. I think he is a giver. By the way, the gift of giving is not your ability to make money so you can give it. The gift of giving is giving. Because if the gift of giving were your ability to make money, you'd have to make money to have the gift of giving. You don't have to make it. The gift of giving is giving. And this guy, he always gives. Well, this week, when I was talking to him, I said, how's the church? And he said, great. He said, last week we had a lady saved in church. And he said, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I led a man and his wife to Christ. And so, by the way, the town has gone down. The church is not. And he said this to me. Now, I know this is private, but I don't think you know who he is. He said, I'm only telling my brother and you. But he said, our church this year brought in $100,000 more than last year. Now, how can you explain that? Yeah, God keeps his promise. And I think Brother Doug will always have what he needs until he croaks, because he's a giver. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in God's promise fulfilled in your life. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Notice, by the way, giving and receiving in the same verse. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, how could that be true? I have a friend. He's an evangelist. He's about 5 years older than I am, which means he was born just after the flood. But he's a great guy. His name is Brother Jim. And Jim explains that truth this way. He says, Bill, he said this to me, and I've heard him say it publicly. He says, Bill, would you rather need $20 or be able to give $20? You hear the question? Would you rather need $20 or be able to give $20? Well, what would all of us say? it's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. I'm finished, except I got to tell a story, and I'll make a confession. I have told this story in this church before. I don't remember when. I didn't even look it up because I don't care. I want to tell it tonight, and so I'm going to tell you this true story, and I'm going to tell you this story, all right? Years ago, about 30 years ago, no, about 35 years ago, no, about 40 years ago, Mary and I were in a revival in Denver, Colorado. We were with a man named Ed Nelson. Anybody here know Ed Nelson? Well, God bless you. Wonderfully used of the Lord. He's in heaven now. Pastored and preached into his 90s. But we were with Ed Nelson. He's a great guy, good sense of humor, had a good church. They ran at that time about 1,200. So we were in a revival meeting in that church. We were there 8 days. And we were there Sunday through Sunday. And about Tuesday night, a teenage girl, now I don't remember the stats, so I'm making them up. I think she was about 13, but I don't know. A teenage girl was in this aisle, and I was coming down out of the platform, and she stopped me, and she said, "Brother Rice, I have been saving money for a bicycle, and God spoke to my heart to put it in your love offering." Now, I know you think I would say, "Yes, that's a great idea," but I just felt awful. Here's a girl that was saving money for a bicycle, and she was going to put it in my love offering. So I said to her, "That is wonderful. I really appreciate that, but you don't need to put it in my love offering, really." I said, "Thank you very much." Well, her mother was standing about two rows back, and she could see that her daughter was having trouble with me. So she came up and she said this. She said, "Our daughter told us about this a couple of days ago. And so her dad and I and she have all prayed about it, and we think she should give the $50. Well, I said, "Ma'am, it's the thought that counts, and I am moved. I'm just moved that you'd want to do this, but really, you don't need to do this." And Mom said, "Well, she wants to give the $50, and we're going to let her do it." Well, we had the meeting. We closed on Sunday night. We began 100 miles north on Monday night for another revival campaign. And we were staying about 2 miles from the church in an apartment kind of a place. And between where we were staying and the church was a Schwinn bicycle shop. So we passed the Schwinn shop every day coming back and forth to the church. Well, one day we're going past the Schwinn bicycle shop, and I said to Mary, "Let's buy that girl a bicycle." Mary said, "Let's do it." So we went into the Schwinn shop. It was fun. And I think the bike was something over $100. I don't remember again exactly, but it was a 10-speed, and it was nice. It had all the bells and whistles. We got it slightly larger than she was so she could grow into it, and we got the bike. And we closed that service on Sunday night, 100 miles away, as I've told you. And I called Dr. Nelson. And I said, "Can you meet us at the Pancake House?" He said, "Yes, why?" I said, "I have a bicycle for a girl in your church." He said, "A what?" I said, "A bicycle." And I told him the story. I said, "She was saving money for a bicycle, and she put that money in my love offering." He said, "Well, Brother Bill, I was saving money for a boat." And I said to him, "Good luck." So we drove down, I'll never forget this, that night, and I had it in the trunk of my car, just barely could get it in there, and we took it, no, on my truck, and we took it out of my truck, and we put it in the trunk of his Oldsmobile, and he took the bike, and I said, "Don't tell her where it came from, just give her the bike." So he did. Well, about a week later, we were at the ranch, and I got a letter from this girl. And she said, "Brother Rice, you won't believe what happened." She said, "Somebody gave me a bicycle." Now, let me ask you a question. Which do you think was more of a thrill to Mary and to me, getting $50 or giving that girl a bicycle? Well, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? And by the way, I'm getting no credit for this at the Bema. Because I've told the story every chance I have to tell it. And finally, she found out. We met her a few years ago. She was grown, married, and teaching in the state of Michigan. We met her at a Christian school conference. And she told me she knew where the bicycle came from, which, of course, she would have to because I have blabbed it all over America. So there's no credit due to me about that, but what a blessing that was. How many of you have grandkids? Okay. At Christmas, did you get anything, a card, a trinket, a note from your grandkids? Okay. Was that a blessing? Yeah. Did you give anything to your grandkids? Which was the bigger blessing? You giving something to a grandchild, or are you getting something from a grandchild? That's a big deal to get something from a grandchild, isn't it? But it's a bigger deal to give. I'm telling you, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Now we're going to have a come forward invitation. I'm going to have an invitation, and I'm going to tell you what kind and why, all right? It's kind of hard to come forward in a service and say, I've been stingy, but I'm going to stop being stingy and I'm going to start giving. And it's hard on 2 points. One, maybe you haven't been stingy, and two, maybe you shouldn't brag about giving like I just did, all right? So we're not going to have a come forward invitation, but we're going to bow in a minute for prayer. And if God has spoken to your heart about giving, and you will take the challenge and you will ask the Lord to help you to be a giver, then I'll encourage you to do that, all right? Does everybody have the gift of giving? No, but should everybody give? Yes. Does everybody have the gift of mercy? No, but shouldn't everybody ask God to make him merciful? See? So I may not have the gift of giving, but I can act like I would if I did have it. And so can you. And we ought and we should. Let's bow for prayer. Pastor will stand with me. We won't have any music for just a few moments. Could I ask you to sit up good and straight? It'll be a help to you to think. And let me ask this question. I wonder if here tonight you say, Brother Rice, you know, as we looked at Luke 6:38, God spoke to my heart about giving. Yes, I'll receive, and yes, I can give again, but he spoke to my heart about giving, and I want to ask the Lord to help me to set out to be more conscious, to be more careful, be more consistent, to be more faithful in my giving, and then to rejoice in God's provision for me. Now, all of us could say, I want to give more. I understand that. That's not the question. If you'd say, as we looked at Luke 6:38, God spoke to my heart about giving, and so by the grace of God, I want to walk out of here more of a giver than I was when I walked in. If that's you, with no one looking save the pastor and myself, would you slip a hand up where you're seated right now? Just hold them high for a second, would you? Wonderful. Wonderful. There's 5, 6. Wonderful. 7. All right. Any others? God spoke to my heart about giving tonight, and so I want to ask the Lord to help me to be the giver he would have me to be. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. 8 and 9. Okay, could I wait just for a moment? I don't mean to belabor the point. Anybody else at all? Yes, all right. There's 10 and 11. All right. Well, God bless your hearts. Anyone else? Okay, look at me just for a second. Would you look at me just for a second? We're going to bow for prayer. I'll pray briefly, and then I'll just stop, give you time, and if God spoke to your heart, ask his help. I'm confident he'll give it. All right. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us and do for us. Certainly, no one has ever given as you do. We know that. And we know that you love a cheerful giver because you are one. And we know you gave your son. We're so grateful for that. And you provide for us. We're so thankful for that. we're asking that you help us to be givers tonight. And there are, I think, 11 people specifically to whom you've spoken who are going to come to you in prayer, and we know that you'll hear their prayers. And so we ask that you do exactly that. Our heads are bowed. You go ahead and pray. We'll wait for a few moments, and then Pastor will come. Our heads are still bowed. I hope I haven't interrupted anybody praying. If you prayed asking the Lord's provision and help in your life of giving, would you slip a hand up just so I can see it again if you prayed just now? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's so good. Father, thank you for meeting with us tonight and for the truth that you've given us in Scriptures. Help us to live faithfully by it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Just a word of encouragement. I think that when we think of giving, sometimes we think of stinginess and, you know, people don't give because they're stingy and covetous and such things. I really think the biggest barrier to giving is fear. People are afraid. You know, if I give, you know, so much that I'm not going to have for this or that. I think that's actually a really important reason that we need to look at and consider. Passages like this help us to not have fear that the Lord's going to provide for us. You need to be wise. Yeah, you need to pay your mortgage and give at the same time. You know, you don't take it from the mortgage company and give and that sort of thing. Wisdom is required, but I think faith is required too. And we need to pray along these lines that not allow fear to keep us from giving. And I think this kind of leads me into something that I wanted to do tonight. And I didn't tell Frankel and Jackie that I was going to do this. But, you know, I don't have any problem embarrassing them. They're our missionaries to Haiti. And they are leaving next Sunday. And we won't have the opportunity to do this. But I was going to ask them if they would please come forward and stand right up here. We as a church, we want to pray for you. So if Frankel and Jackie Laguerre would come up, as you know, there are missionaries to Haiti. They're leaving next Sunday night. But I'm going to use them further because they have given themselves to this mission and to this work in Haiti. They're retired. They don't have to do this. They're active in their church. They give to people. They love people. They're faithful to God. They don't have to go to Haiti. Haiti is a dangerous place. They don't mind me telling you this. It's a dangerous place to go to. And they are giving themselves out as a drink offering to the Lord. They're going down there because of they are convinced that this is how God wants to use them. Amen? They are giving of themselves. And I'd like for us right now to pray for them, to pray for their safe journey, for their safety down there, and for their ministry. Can we pray together? Father in heaven, we want to lift up Frankel and Jackie to you, and we're so happy, Lord, that we can send them out as a church, as our missionaries, to Moroso, Haiti. That church down there, we're so happy because of their influence, is being so successful with the school, with the new water well and some of the buildings that have gone up because of their longtime influence there, and they're bringing our church into being part of that. Lord, we've given toward that work, and we've encouraged them in the work, and they're responding to you. They're giving of their time and talents and their whole being, and we ask that as they go down there to Haiti that you would go with them, that through your Spirit you would protect every step of the way, every mile, that they not only would have safety in travel and have physical safety, but Lord, that they themselves, health-wise, that you would give them strength, that there would be no health burden that would be associated. There's a lot of challenges with fuel costs and the lack of things that are available. I pray that you would make their way straight. I pray that as the church sees them come along, that they would be a true, true blessing to the pastor and to the church there. Go with them, Lord, and bless their ministry. Father, we pray that you would bring them back to this spot in the months that they're down there, that we can praise you for the success of their ministry. We ask that you would go with them, and we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like for all of us to stand as we're going to be dismissed. At the end of the service, if you want to come around and hug their necks, they'll be here Wednesday night probably, but this may be the last time you get a chance to see them, so you get a chance to hug their necks. But we'll all be down eating chili, so you can hug them down there too, but you come forward if you will. We're going to pray one more time and be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you. Bless the food to our bodies and our bodies to your service. We thank you for the rices. We thank you for the fellowship that we're about to enjoy. Bless, guide, and direct, and go with us as we are witnesses to you this week. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight.